This morning we're going to continue now with our third study in the series, The Truth About Angels. And I've titled this study, Looking Behind the Veil, A Scriptural View of the Invisible World. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, right now this morning, that I'm going to go over some stuff with you that I guarantee you none of you have ever heard before. Okay? Sometimes in delivering a message, I know that there's just something that has to be said. When we were going through the stuff about the tongue, those weren't always the most comfortable services to sit through because they were kind of, reading all of our meters and what we say and how we act and so forth. But this study here, to me, this is the fun study, okay? This is the stuff that you look at some of this stuff and you're like, whoa, I had no idea that the Bible had something to say about that and that it was there. And I'm going to tell you from the beginning, we are going to employ the principles of Bible study that I went over with you last Sunday. We're going to be literal and we're going to compare verse with verse as we go through these things, as we seek to understand some things about the angelic realm from the Word of God. Okay? Now, by way of introduction, I just want to point out and start with this point here. If angels have a real, substantial existence, which I believe they do, and I'm sure that all of you do too, based on what we've looked at so far in this study, as the Scriptures also assert that they do, okay, then they must have a location or a sphere that they inhabit. Okay? So if angels are real, then there must be somewhere that these angels exist within. All right? And that is what we're going to be looking at today. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to get started with this. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 15. Because there are some things in this verse that are very basic that we have to lay out at the beginning. Look at verse 15. It says, Paul writes, he says, who is the image of the invisible God? That's talking about Christ. The firstborn of every creature. For by Him, that's by Christ, were all things what? Created. Now notice what he says. That are in heaven and that are where? So all things in heaven and earth are created by who? By Christ. Now look at what else it says. Visible and what? Now don't miss the easy comparison. The things in earth are the things that are what? Visible. You can see them, right? The things in heaven are the things that are what? Invisible. But whether it's earthly things that are visible or heavenly things that are invisible, all of them were created by who? By Christ. Verse 16 again. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Now, what is he talking about in this verse? Is he talking about the trees and the grass and the birds and the animals and so on? No. That's not. Now, did God create those things too? Of course He did. But that's not what Paul's talking about. He says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and what? For Him. So when Paul says here in verse 16, he says that there are principalities, thrones, dominions that are in heaven that are what? Invisible. And there are principalities, thrones, dominions on earth that are what? That are visible. Okay? So you have the invisible here, and then you also have the visible. So there's a corresponding thing. You have for the invisible principality, you have a visible what? Principality and so on. So the habitation of angels, according to the Bible, if you want to know where the angels live, the angels plainly assert that the angels live in heaven. Come with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18 first. Matthew chapter 18. Now, we're not going to look at all those verses because we don't have time to do it, but we are going to look at a couple of them, okay? But they're there for you if you want to take notes on them. Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 10. We'll start with this one. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. It says, take heed that ye despise not none of these little ones, for I say unto you that where? In heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is where? So, according to that verse, where are the angels at? They're in heaven. Where is the Father at? The Father's in heaven. And it says that the angels behold the face of who? of the Father. Come with me to Matthew chapter 24. So we're establishing here, folks, that the habitation or the abode of angels is in the heavens. Now, if it's in the heavens, does that fall into the category of the visible or the invisible? That would be the invisible, okay? Paul said, the Scripture says that no man has seen God at any time, but that Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, He hath revealed Him, okay? So we have the invisible realm in the heavens, and we have the visible realm in the earth. And if God created all of it, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers, all of them were created by Christ and for Christ. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 36. Verse 36. But of the day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of what? Of heaven. So the Bible says that the angels are where? That they're in heaven. Come with me to Galatians chapter 1. Look at a couple Pauline verses on this. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 8. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. So what we're doing, folks, right now is we're building some basic understandings that we're then going to develop as we go through this morning's message. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says, but the we or an angel from where? Heaven. Preach any other gospel unto you. So clearly the angels reside where? The angels reside in heaven. Look, we could go through all these verses. We could go through 50 more that I didn't put on the notes, but I don't think we need to do that. I think we understand from the three that we've looked at, that is the testimony of the Word of God, that the angels inhabit a realm or an abode that is not earthly or visible in nature, but that is heavenly or invisible in nature. Okay? Now that being said, we also have to clear up another point. Alright? The Scriptures speak, folks, of at least three heavens. Come with me first to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And look at verse 1. The Scriptures identify at least three heavens. All right? And we're going to identify what those are right here in a second. But I want to make this point to you. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Notice what it says. It says, thus the heavens, singular or plural? Plural. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Notice, and all the host what? Therein, or of them. There they are. Okay? So, chapter 2, verse 1, says that there are at least how many heavens? Two. How many, to have heavens plural, you at least got to be referring to how many things minimum? Two. Okay? So there is heavens plural that God creates. Alright? Keep that in mind. Now come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Notice what it says. Paul says, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. By the way, if you read on further down, the reason why Paul had a thorn in the flesh was from the abundance of the revelations that were given unto him. Okay? Verse 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. Such a one caught up to where? The third heaven. So, Genesis 2:1 tells you that there are heavens what? Plural. Paul tells you that there are at least how many? Three. Because if you read on through here, I believe that he's talking about himself, that he was caught up into the third heaven. If you read verse 3, 4, and 5, he talks about how he saw unspeakable things that he cannot utter and so forth. Okay? But my point is not to get into that this morning. My point is to establish for you the fact that the Bible says there are at least how many heavens? Three. So what are they? Alright? The first heaven is the atmosphere around the earth, where the birds fly and airplanes fly and so forth. It is the atmosphere that you can see, that you know is there because you see the birds flying in it and so forth. It is, the first heaven is the atmosphere around the earth. By the way, If you go straight up from here 2 miles, can you survive? Why not? There's no oxygen and your body is not equipped to live on its own without help. Okay? So the second heaven is the starry heavens where the planetary bodies are located. What we would refer to as what? Outer space. Okay? The universe, the cosmos, any of those terms. So you have the first heaven, the atmosphere around the earth. The second heaven is the starry heavens, that part of God's creation. And the third heaven is the specific dwelling place of who? God. God, the throne of God and God Himself resides in the third heaven. Okay? So you have heavens plural. You have the first heaven, the second heaven, and the what? The third heaven. Alright? Now, come with me to Romans chapter 1. You say, well, how are you going to help us understand the invisible realm when we can't see it? Well, lucky for you and me, the Bible addresses this issue. Okay? We already know from Colossians 1:16 that Christ created principalities, powers, mights, and dominions in heaven that are what? Invisible. And on the earth that are what? So the visible things I can see in the earth correspond with invisible things that I cannot see where? In the heavens. Because when He made heaven and earth, He put both principalities and powers, mights and dominions up there and down where? And down here. Look at Romans chapter 1 verse 20. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. Notice, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen. How can you clearly see the invisible things of God? What's the verse say? Are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are what? Made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? You need to understand what that verse is saying, folks. The creation itself is enough testimony to a lost man to demonstrate that this stuff did all just not come from nothing. Okay? There is what we call a general revelation and a general testimony of God that He put in creation when He made it. And Paul says that the invisible things of God are clearly what? Seen. How do we clearly see the invisible things of God? By understanding and looking at the things that are what? Made. And by doing that, Paul says that they are without what? Excuse. So how do we understand this invisible realm? We understand this invisible realm by looking at the clues that God gave us in through His Word about what He did when He made things where? Here. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Okay? Now, all of that being said, let's start looking at the heavenly sanctuary. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. So the way we understand the invisible, Paul says, is by looking at the things that are what? Are made. Hebrews chapter 8, look at verse 1. Hebrews 8, verse 1. The writer here says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty where? So in the heavens resides the throne of who? God. And Jesus Christ as the high priest is seated at the right hand of the Father in the throne by the throne of God that resides where? In the heavens. Isn't that what the verse says? Okay, verse 2. A minister of the what? The sanctuary, notice, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not who? So there is, in the heavens, a sanctuary. There is a tabernacle that who pitched? God made it, He pitched it, He designed it, right? God made it and He put it up there in the heavens, and Jesus Christ is the high priest that is at the right hand of the Father and the majesty set in the heavens, okay? And He is a minister, verse 2 says, of the true sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which who pitched? God pitched and not who? Not man. So the Bible speaks, guys, of the throne of God as being located in the heavenly sanctuary, in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not who? And not man. Come with me, if you would, to verse 5. Who serve, notice, unto the example and shadow of what kind of things? Heavenly things. Now, the verse in Romans 1:20 said that the way we understand the invisible things of God is by looking at the things that are what? Made. Okay? You need to follow with me here this morning. Verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of the heavenly things. Notice, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Did Moses make a tabernacle on the earth? Okay? Read the rest of the verse. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the what? The pattern shown thee in what? When Moses goes up into the mount to receive the law, God shows Moses a what? A pattern. That pattern that God shows Moses is the pattern then that God is going to use, or that God wants Moses to use, to pitch a tabernacle where? On earth. So the one that Moses pitches on earth is patterned after the one that God pitched where? In the heavens. You with me so far? Now, come with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Some of you may have been reading these verses during your scripture reading saying, what in the world is that about? Hopefully you'll know by the time we're done here. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 23. Notice, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things where? In the heavens should be purified with these. Notice, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with what? Hands, notice, which are the figure of what? I'm going to show you in a few minutes a diagram of the tabernacle, and what you're going to see is that there were different parts of the tabernacle. And one part was called the holy place, and then there was a veil, and on the other side of that veil was called the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies dwelt the Ark of the Covenant, and the glory, the Shekinah glory of God dwelt on the top of the Ark of the Covenant between the cherubim. Okay? And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, look at verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with what? In other words, Christ did not enter into an earthly tabernacle or to an earthly temple. He entered where? Notice, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself. What does that tell you about heaven itself? God pitched a tabernacle where? In heaven. And that verse seems to be saying that the tabernacle, that the entire thing that God made is His what? Tabernacle. You following that? Now, I hope you're following that. Let me get caught up in my notes here. Come with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. So, while you're finding that, again, Moses builds a tabernacle on earth. How does Moses know how to build a tabernacle? God shows him a what? A pattern. The pattern that God shows him is not of a one made with hands, but it's of the true tabernacle that the Lord pitched. We know that the tabernacle that the Lord pitched is in where? It's in heaven, and that Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 seems to be indicating that the heaven itself, the heavens itself are the tabernacle of who? Of God. And Jesus Christ, He's not entered into an earthly tabernacle made with hands. He has entered into a what? Heavenly tabernacle. Revelation chapter 4, starting at verse 6. We read this before. And before their throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. By the way, you're going to want to mark this because we're going to come back here later on. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of the man, and the fourth beast like a flying eagle. And the four beasts each had six wings about him, and were full of eyes within, and rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Look at verse 24. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. So not only do you have the four beasts, but you also have what? You have 24 elders that are also standing there before the throne of who? Come to chapter 5. Look at verse 8. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seal thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign where? On the earth. Verse 11. And behold, I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So what do you see in the throne of God? In the throne room of God, you see the four living beasts, right? You see the 24 elders, you see other angels and the saints. They're all there, right? But I want to focus on these 24 elders for a minute. Hebrews says that the thing that God made in the earth was patterned after the thing that He made where? In heaven. Come with me, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter 24. When God establishes the priesthood in Israel, on the earth, guess how many elders there are? 24. Why are there 24? Because what He did on the earth is patterned after what He did where? In the heavens. How do you understand what's in the heavens? You understand what's in the heavens by looking at the things that are what? Made. 1 Chronicles, this is kind of a hard thing to read through just because there's so many big names and stuff in here. But if you look at verse 5, 1 Chronicles 24, verse 5, it says, Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors, notice, of the what? Sanctuary. What did Hebrews say? Where did Christ go? He went down and sat down at the right hand of the Father in the sanctuary that was where? In heaven. For the governors of the sanctuary and the governors of the house of God were the sons of Eleazar and the sons of Ithamar. And if you read down through verse 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way down through verse 16, they are listed for you. And then you get to verse 17, 1 and 20th to Jachin, and 2 and 20th to Gamal, the 3rd and 20th to Delia, the 4th and 20th to Maaziah. These were the orderings of them in the service to come into the house of the Lord according to their manner under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had what? So when God establishes His priesthood in the earth, how many elders does He put in charge of the earthly priesthood? 24. How many elders are there before the throne of God in Revelation 4? 24. How do you understand the invisible realm? You understand the invisible realm by looking at the things that God made where? On the earth. Is there a pattern? Is there a correlation? Israel's religion was patterned after the one that God established in heaven. There's a heavenly sanctuary where angelic beings minister in the presence of God Himself in the third heaven. And it was in that location that Lucifer was what? Expelled from. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. When God creates, I want you to notice this verse. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. It says, "It is He that sitteth upon the circle of what?" Listen, all these clowns that for thousands of years thought the earth was flat, they just didn't read the Bible. Because the Bible would have told them, if they would have read it, that the earth was round the whole time. The Bible is so far, and you're going to see this morning, the Bible is so far ahead of so-called science that it's mind-boggling what the Bible records that science will never find out. You know what they are? I'm going to say this right now. Do you know that one day they are going to invent some kind of a telescope that can look farther into space, and they're going to come back to us and say, you know what, God's not out there, we can't find Him. There's a reason for that too, we'll get to that in a minute. Isaiah 40 verse 22, "It is He that sitteth on the circle of the earth," look at, "and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." Look at the second half. "That stretcheth out the heavens as a what? Curtain. And spreadeth them out as a tent." To what? Why did God make the universe the way He made it? He made it as a dwelling place for who? Himself. And when He built it as a tent. He stretched the heavens out as a tent for Himself to do what? Dwell in. Go to Psalm 138. I wasn't going to do this, but we should. Psalm 138. Where does God want to live? Where does God intend to dwell? Psalm 132. So He creates this stuff. He creates the heavens and the earth. And He stretches them out when He forms them as